One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
It's time for Clock 4, a combination of Clockwise and Top 4 made just for Relay FM members on Relay Birthday Week. Clock 4, four people, four lists. 44 minutes? Welcome to Clock 4. I'm Jason Snell. I am the co-host of Clockwise, along with Dan Morin. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
We are happy that you're Relay members, but of course, this is two podcasts smooshed together because the hosts of Top 4, Marco Arment and Tiffany Arment, are here. Hi.
Hi.
Hey. It's a mashup.
This is surreal.
Yeah, mashup.
It's a little weird.
We're going to mash it.
We're like Glee, but... Not at all.
Well, this is awesome because it's like our podcast, but we don't really have to do anything. We just have to talk to you, and you're doing all the work.
Yeah, I guess. How did that happen?
Wait a second. How did we end up with that?
So
that end of this.
For those who don't know about Clockwise, Clockwise is a podcast where Dan and I spend about half an hour, and we have four topics in that time that everybody discusses. And top four, of course, Marco and Tiff, and sometimes guests will have. They'll construct their own lists of four things in a category. So for Clock 4, we are going to, everybody's going to start a list and then contribute one item to it. And we're going to construct four arbitrary lists. Does that make sense?
Let's do it.
No, not at all, but yeah, let's
do it. Okay, no, none of this makes any sense.
I'm ready to play, Alex.
All right, here we go. I will kick us off. And then we'll move clockwise or clock four wise or something like that around the circle. Here is my list. Things you put in a salad. That is my list. Top four things you put in a salad.
This is not Family Feud, though, is what you're saying.
And yes, that's right. Top four answers are on the board. Survey said. And I'm going to get us started. I hate vegetables. I barely eat salad. I do eat salad. I choke it
Why
down.
Why did you pick this category?
You picked a salad topping. You don't have vegetables.
I don't really like vegetables.
I suppose we start out by asking, like, when was the last time you made anything in a salad? When was the last time you put any ingredients in a salad?
I do eat salad. This is the in fact, when Lauren and I moved in together, she would make salads, and that was my first real introduction to salad, and I participated. We had a
those were your salad days.
It was
nice.
I was the subject of an experiment, which was basically like she would vary what she put in the salad and then note when I ate the salad and when I failed to eat the salad, and learned from that things that I didn't even know about vegetables that I would eat and vegetables that I wouldn't eat, and constructed from that
the perfect
of
this
salad.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
A ledger full of what Jason
suffice to say that carrots was the poison pen it was the killer. The carrots,
I like
carrots
that
killed
you,
the salad.
I like that
me.
You phrase this as an experiment, because my thought was half man, half salad. Which so, increasingly dose him.
That's why I am really curious to what you normal healthy people will pick in this category, but I'm gonna start us off. Number one thing you put in salad, you put croutons in salad, so there's something in there that you can search for that's edible.
That's great. So let's take
that's
this
slightly
food.
Better than cheese.
Yeah, like this food that you eat mostly because it is relatively healthy.
Yep.
And the first thing you put onto it is starch, salt, and oil.
Oh God, yes, right. Because then it becomes a little game. Like, you know, I collect up all the healthy things, but I also get a crouton, and that gets me through the salad. Like I'm like Pac-Man, basically. You know, just going for the little pellets, and the other stuff just is coming along for the ride. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the term salad has been twisted and abused over time. Like when McDonald's started offering salads and they're like more calories than a Big Mac. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, a salad is a great excuse where like it just sounds healthy and it looks healthy. And then you can throw in like bacon and dressing and chunks of toasted fried bread like you were doing over there. And it still sounds healthy because it's still called a salad, even though you can throw basically anything in there. And it doesn't. It's like it's free calories.
I agree,
it's like a
Marco.
Sandwich with no roll.
I think my top three items
it's
that
a harder
I would put
to eat sandwich.
My top three items I would put in a salad
it's
are
a
probably
bowl.
Croutons, dressing, and cheese.
This
and
is not yet a salad.
Lettuce, maybe, I guess, or a tostada, something like that. Anyway, Tiff, what would you put in a salad? What will you add to the list?
I would put in a cucumber. I love a sliced cucumber. I think it's refreshing. It's clean. I don't mind either type of cucumber. I like it when you put the little fork lines in it, like
wait
from
a minute.
The 70s.
Are there
types?
There are more there than
two.
One.
No, there's two. Either.
There's two. There's exactly an English two types. There's an English cucumber, and then like I don't know what the regular one's
are
called,
those like the Persian cucumbers? Aren't there Persian cucumbers?
Oh, yeah, there are. I think I
the
just
English
saw one in a blue
cucumber
apron.
You put on a sandwich because it has like, it's not as watery. It
does
has
it
less
have
seeds.
Does it have an accent?
Possibly. It's very long and green.
Is it worth about 1.6 of our cucumbers?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
My pick's a cucumber. This is standard. Nobody hates a cucumber.
That was right behind carrot in the rejected items from Jason's salad experiment.
Are you kidding me? Cucumbers are basically water.
Yeah, it tastes like nothing. How could you have any opinion on a cucumber
it
whatsoever?
It tastes like something, and that's a thing I don't like.
I'm going to have to back up Jason on that one. I actually don't like cucumbers either. I know. I'm a terrible person.
It's as benign as lettuce. It's like chunkier lettuce. That's all it is.
I mean, maybe before we continue, can we clarify? Do either of you, Jason and Dan, like lettuce in your salads?
Yes.
I'm more of a mixed greens guy.
Oh, I kind of regret now. I should have picked arugula. I love arugula.
Oh, I can't.
Arugula's
good.
Oh, I can't eat that. It's too bitter. Too bitter.
Oh my goodness.
I do like that. It's too green.
I do like leaf lettuce. Lauren, I think Lauren's determination for me is that my ultimate salad was like leaf lettuce, radishes, bell peppers.
Wow. Okay.
That might be it. Corn, but it's harder to maintain like a salad corn supply. So
at least it's not iceberg lettuce.
Yeah. No, my mom, actually, one of the reasons I always hated salad is the salads that my mom would serve would just be iceberg lettuce and like cabbage, and they were awful. Oof. So, yeah.
That is awful.
Yeah, we would always just have like the shredded bag salad that you get, like, but not like the fancy ones you get now in Whole Foods, like the kind that was iceberg lettuce and cabbage and radishes.
Yeah.
It was actually just a bag of things that you bought off the street somewhere. It's fine. Yeah.
Just eat the bag. The bag was part of the salad.
It's a lot of fiber in that bag.
All right, Dan, we've got croutons and what was it? And now
cucumber.
I'm stuck
only
on cabbages
C,
now.
Only
croutons and cucumbers. Dan, what do you have
man.
On your salad?
Wow. Okay, so I'm prepared to reap some criticism here because I was gonna pick the cheese option. I was gonna pick
cheese option.
The
for
good
the
stuff.
Win.
Okay. I was going to pick goat cheese, though, which I think is awesome in a salad, especially
nice.
If you would like sort of a balsamic dressing, is what I would say. I eat actually a sort of a mixed green salad for lunch most days, though I am definitely guilty of doctoring with non-salad-like ingredients. And I am not a huge salad person. Growing up, my parents made salad, and I would always like sort of go steer around some of those parts that I didn't like as much. I've broadened my horizons a little bit. I unlike Jason, I do like carrots. That was like as a kid, like the one vegetable I would actually eat. And so I still really like carrots, but I can understand the different strokes for different folks. I will say, on the bottom of my list, if I ever got to become like a diva where I like have somebody who would like do my bidding and
like picking
pick up,
things out of salad for
you.
Yeah,
their job would be to remove all radicchio from the face of the earth because that is foul. I don't know why. There's something about that that's just too bitter and soapy tasting to me. So I'm out on the radicchio, up with the goat cheese, up with the mixed greens. That's sort of my general feeling. I really like Caesar salads too. I know those aren't really great as salads go because I like anchovies and I'm weird that way.
So you could have picked anchovies, but you didn't. Okay, so our salad so far, this isn't like we're not like a community building a salad here.
Oh,
which
we are
is good
now.
Because we have cheese, croutons, and cucumbers in our salad. Marco,
in
help
all
us
fairness,
out.
In all fairness, I will say that goat cheese is kind of like salad in that it sounds healthier than, you know,
yes,
cheese.
Exactly.
Like goat cheese, like those calories don't count either.
No.
It's not like you're dumping a bag of shredded cheese on top of your bag salad.
The way I see it, those goats work out a lot. Like they're like running around and jumping. Goats. It seems like it's healthy, yeah.
And you combine goat cheese with salad, it's almost like negative calories.
Exactly. It's like I worked
live
it off
forever.
Just eating it.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue the C theme.
All right.
My top pick for salad toppings is chicken.
Whoa! Oh.
Because chicken converts a side dish into a meal.
It's true.
This is true.
Right?
Like, such a weirdo.
Any, chicken Caesar chicken meal.
Exactly.
Regular Caesar.
You can put chicken
side salad
in any salad and it makes it a full meal.
Wow.
I can't disagree
with
you.
I thought you would have said pine nuts. I really thought you were going to say pine nuts. Mm.
I like pine nuts, but I mostly like them in pesto. For salads, like, a pine nut doesn't make it a meal. It also makes it
very
expensive.
You could have went with cashew, stuck with, you know, go on.
That, well, you can make a meal if you have enough cashews, but most places are too cheap to use enough cashews, so they don't.
True.
This is home salad.
I think the chicken is a good one. We get a tostada salad at a Mexican restaurant here a lot.
I really like those tostadas.
And you put, it's good, it's Mexican salad, it's good, but it's, but with the chicken on top, and then that's the meal, right? Then you're not just ordering a salad, it's like, well, yeah, okay, what meal are you having it with? The chicken makes it a meal.
Exactly.
I like that we did all pick things that start with C, though. That was pretty impressive.
That was not planned.
I also like that we only have one vegetable among us.
And it's not a lettuce.
That's like the base. That's the base of the salad. I feel like we were all
gussying
it up. There's
a cucumber salad. You can have a cucumber salad.
With chicken and goat cheese and croutons.
It sounds like we're making a casserole.
I'd actually eat that.
I think we made a casserole.
Maybe we're also kind of revealing like the truth about salads. Like, I feel like if we each had to pick four items, we'd probably have some vegetables in like our three and four slots.
Sure.
But it seems like nobody eats a salad for the vegetables, except Tiff. Nobody else eats a salad. Everyone else is kind of like tolerating the salad for the
salad
good
is,
stuff on top.
It's guilt food, and I will get in serious trouble if my girlfriend ever hears this, because she is a salad fanatic. So I have to escape that.
Well, this worked exactly as I had hoped, which is that you all support, except Tiff, you've supported me in my idea that, you know, salad is to be endured. And there's some little things you can put in it to get you through to the other side. My son's favorite food is cucumber, though, so he would side with you there. All right, well, that's top four things in salad.
I'm guessing we did not finish the Family Feud board on that one.
We struck out there. Let's move on to list number two. Tiff, what are we listing?
We are going to be listing our favorite or preferred sneaker brands.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good one. I was pretty excited. So,
like,
I guess
all
I'll start
time
this one off.
Or present time? Or do you
Whatever,
not want to define it?
Well, that's how you want to define it yourself.
Okay.
So if you want to go with your all-time favorite sneaker, or because you're wearing this one type of brand right now and it's your favorite, that's for you to explore.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to continue this whole C theme here, because it's clock four, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Converse. So they are my favorite classic sneaker brand. They look cool with everything. They come in tons of different colors. They do have different styles, even though they're pretty subtle. But you can find, like, the lady ones are nice, have thin soles, and they have ones with double tongues or high top kind of style ones. And I just love all the different colors they have. So for classic reasons, I'm going with the Converse, and I probably have like about four or five pairs.
Are we talking like Chuck Taylors here?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Chucks.
Known by Chucks. Yes. Again,
good looking shoes.
Again, with a C. Yeah, my daughter's favorite. That's her go-to.
Whatever
shoe.
You want to call them, Chucks. We're sticking with the Converse All-Stars, Chuck Taylors.
I feel like they're kind of like the Bacon of shoes. Like, Bacon was like, it was like out of, it was like kind of like low, like not out of fashion necessarily, but kind of like under the radar for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the last like decade or so, Bacon became like the thing again. And, like, everyone kind of rediscovered
Converse
it.
Converse were always awesome, though. I remember in middle school, like, drawing all over mine. They looked so awesome with all the blue pen drawing all over them.
Like when we were young, they were in. And then, like, when we were like in college, nobody had any of them. And then, like, afterwards, like, there was like a lull, and then afterwards, now, like, they're everywhere again.
Yeah, in the lull, I went to Simple. That was my sneaker of choice. And
Marco, don't think I didn't notice you working in the title of your other Relay podcast in there under the radar. I caught that. I totally caught that product placement right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you finally went back and you decided to upgrade to Converse. Tiff, see what I did there?
Now, Jason, don't turn us into an accidental tech podcast.
Yes. All right. I think we've achieved liftoff with these references. I wanted to say that the Converse thing is I like you mentioning that there. My daughter loves them too. They are, if you don't know the story, they came out with a like Chuck Taylor 2, which was supposed to be not as terrible for your feet, and it was a great controversy. Like, should we really allow these shoes to be improved in any way? Which I think is really funny. Like, they won't destroy your feet, and they're like, no, that's not the thing. We got to destroy your feet. Yeah.
They new coked it.
Yeah, they did. They put like an insole in there or something. Like, well, forget it. That's a good one. Dan, do you have a sneaker brand?
Yeah, and I'm glad I got to go before you, Jason, because I know that you and I wear the same shoes.
That's true.
Well, and for a very reason, I mean, because I can't wear stuff like the Converse Chuck Taylors anymore, unfortunately, because I have terrible, terrible feet. And so several years ago, I ended up going to a great shoe store here where they actually like take you out, and they're mainly focused on runners, but they take you out and they actually have you like walk around outside in these shoes, and they sort of look at how you walk and try to figure out what kind of shoes you need for what kind of support. And so I ended up getting these shoes by a shoemaker called Brooks. And these are they just offer better arch support because I have like flat feet and stuff like that. And when I eventually ended up going to a podiatrist to see about some of my other foot problems, it happened to be the exact same brand of shoe they recommended. And I thought, great, I've already taken care of this. So I've been wearing these shoes for many years now. They're very comfortable, and that's really what I'm looking for most of the time out of the shoe. Unless I'm sort of getting dressed up for a formal occasion and need better shoes. And before that, I was a big New Balance fan because they have a lot of different sizes and mm-hmm. stuff that fits all sorts of weird sized feet. And when you have like a size 14 shoe, you know, your options start to get a little more limited at that point. So that's my top pick because it's the only shoe brand I've really worn in the past several years.
I have bad news for you, Dan. I'm not wearing the Brooks shoes anymore because I'm really disappointed in them because the soles keep coming off of them. So I switched back to New Balance.
Simpatico though.
Yeah, but good. That's good. Marco, do you have a favorite sneaker brand?
I do. I prefer Doc Martens, and everyone knows them for their boots that were popular like in the 80s and 90s, I guess.
Hold on.
Yeah, what? For punk rockers.
They make sneakers, and I've owned them. And I believe there's two pairs in the closet. Doc Martens is great because like they have high quality stuff, and they're sponsored by Doc Martens, by the way. I use coupon code CLOCK4 for 10%
sure,
off.
Sure, that's right.
It's full of
so
lies.
They are
also brought to you by Salad.
Shoes. Yes, so, sort of. They're excellent shoes overall, and if you can broaden the definition of sneaker very slightly to include those slip-ons I always wear, they are even better because they look like dress shoes, but they are structured on the inside and the soles more like sneakers. And so they look nice, but are comfortable enough to wear every day, which is why I wear them every day. And so it kind of, like whenever I'm wearing Doc Martens, it always looks like I'm wearing slightly nice shoes, even though they are like comfortable and functional.
I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't think the Doc Martens are a sneaker brand.
Well, they have.
They make a lot of sneakers. Brand.
They
it's
make
not a can. A shoe
they make
brand.
A canvas. They do make a canvas shoe that looks a lot like a Chuck Taylor, like a pricey Chuck Taylor.
Do they?
Though.
They
interesting. Looks like. Check that.
I but could be. Yeah, doesn't I wear those.
No. Oh man, they make spats almost.
They make a lot of shoes. Some of which are sneakers.
I heard a sigh.
There are no judges, I guess, here to tell you no, but I hear some sighing. Yeah, there's some sighing there.
There's one judge.
He'll has to run its course.
I listen to Top Four. I know that things go on lists that don't make any sense to other people. That's what the show's
him.
All
He's
about.
A tornado.
Yep.
Well,
I'll just wait.
I had a lot of items on my list that I considered for this one that started with K instead of C. Like kangaroos, which had a pocket that you could put almost nothing inside, like a coin or a key, if it was a small key. But I'm gonna go with my childhood favorite shoe, which were Keds. Keds was my was my favorite shoe. That was for me. I memorized, like, I knew how they would wear. I knew how they would fall apart. I knew exactly where the logo would come off and how long I had after the logo came off. Those were my childhood sneakers. I had those until I switched to Nikes when I was in really the three phases of my life were the Keds phase, the Nike phase, and the New Balance phase. Now that I'm old and boring, but Keds, I'm gonna go back to my youth. I loved those shoes. I imagine they were probably not very good. But we would go down to the JCPenney and I would get a new pair of Keds about the same time I would go to get my school clothes to start the new school year.
Were they always white?
No.
Do you have white kids?
No, I didn't. White kids. Didn't usually do the white. I think they were usually like, I don't know, like navy, but they had the big thick white edges all the way around
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue logo.
And the blue logo on the back that was like a little license plate, and that would come off within like months. It would just peel right off, and you'd have just the remnants of where it had been for the rest of the time wearing the shoes. And I love that.
See, and kids are yet to have their bacon moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think kids will have their bacon moment. Chucks are way too cool. They're cool like bacon.
I think they might. I mean, Vans came back, right?
Yeah, Vans did come back. They did come back. Sorry, Jason.
That's true. It's true. I never was cool enough to wear Vans, but still, I was kind of like amazed when they came back because I thought that we had put those in the ground and we hadn't.
You want cool? I had the shoes with the pump. That was cool.
Nice.
Reebok. Didn't Reebok have the pump?
Yeah.
I thought it was Nike.
No, it was Reebok. Pretty sure it was Reebok. Some others started to make like copycat versions, but I think the license plate.
They always came with that little metal license plate tag on the Reeboks. Mm-hmm.
That was that was what you needed when I was in like elementary school or middle school to be cool. It didn't work for
me. Didn't work, yeah.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. Yep. I was going to say no shoe would have helped me.
I like that the pump looked like a little basketball. It was weird. It was such a weird shoe.
Well, Marco, until you met me, your shoes, you wore like two sizes too big. Like full sizes.
Yes. That was one of many problems.
It was insane. It was like he had clown shoes. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, who taught you how to size your foot?
Growing up, you'd always like buy shoes that were a little bit big because you'd grow into them before they'd wear out.
And when he stopped growing, I just stopped.
I just never stopped doing that until college when Tiff pointed it out. And I'm like, oh.
I'm like, your sneakers are curling in the front because there's no foot inside of it. Like, this is insanity.
Like, did you assume that maybe your feet would eventually be like gigantic?
I don't know.
It was one of those like unchallenged assumptions that just went on a little too long.
Yeah, I've heard that your hair and nails keep growing even after you're dead, but not your feet. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, we put an end to that.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like we learned a lot about sneakers.
Maybe too much.
That's two lists down. We have two more to go. At halftime of Clockwise, we have a sponsor read. But this is the member episode. So thank you, members, for being a member. And, you know, you were very nice. And you gave money to listen to relay shows that you appreciated. And this is what we got you. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, no one wants to sponsor this nonsense.
And we all apologize.
Dan, what's the next list we're making here?
The next list that we're making, we're going to take a veer away from reality as we know it and go into fiction a little bit here and make a list of top four superheroes, which obviously is a really big field in superheroes. They're having their bacon moment, I guess you could say. I feel like they were out of fashion for a while, and now they are the fashion. So everybody, I feel like, has at least been exposed to superheroes. But I went through a lot. I was thinking about this all day, and I realized there are a lot of superheroes that I like. There are some superheroes that go back to my childhood that I was a really big fan of. But I started thinking about, I've been a big Marvel Unlimited reader for a couple years now, and I started thinking about like which titles pop up that I'm like the most excited to read and have to go read immediately. And the one I think that jumped to the front of my queue was The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, which is a fantastic comic about a young woman who is actually a computer science major in college and has the strength and proportional powers of a squirrel and can talk to squirrels. It's hilarious and awesome. It's written by Ryan North, who's known for, I think, Dinosaur Comics, I believe, which is a long-running webcomic. It's a very, very funny, very irreverent stuff. Lots of fourth wall breaking, lots of bizarre stuff. And Squirrel Girl herself is a delight. That's going to be my top pick just because it's the one that every month that it pops up on Marvel Unlimited, I think I gotta go read that. And I usually, it's also one of the few comics I've read and started getting my girlfriend interested in because she's not a huge comic book fan, but she just kept hearing me giggling, I think, and was like, what are you reading? And so I just start reading her bits out of this and she's like, this is not what I expected from a comic book. So, I consider that a good gateway drug. Marco, I think you're up after me. Do you have a top four superhero?
Well, I had a little bit of trouble with this one because I don't read comics and I don't see a lot of superhero movies. And so there's a lot of the characters that would qualify for this I'm not very familiar with at all. However, I could think of one superhero that I'm both familiar with and that I think would be my top pick. And that is Jason Statham. Now, while he does not fit the traditional definition of a superhero,
okay. Breaking the rules,
I think if you look at what he does in almost every movie he's in, I would posit that is superhero-like behavior and abilities, and that he should therefore count. And there's a lot of superheroes that do much less.
I'm going to allow it.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
So is it Jason Statham the actor because he's super heroic as an actor, or is it like a composite of all of the character he plays in all of his movies?
It's the composite character of his work from his movies.
I mean, right. if you've ever seen the Transporter, is all I'm saying. That right. man and, is super
or
heroic.
Crank.
Yeah. Crank is
Crank.
Extreme.
Yeah,
I mean,
Crank, sure.
You know, started out with the and there's three Transporters, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, there's three. There's at least two Cranks.
Yeah, I don't understand because I only ever saw the first one and it felt like it ended pretty definitively to me.
Well,
but apparently they went on.
Yes, I mean Crank is one of the best supporting pieces of evidence here because like no part of that movie makes sense unless he's a superhero.
Or
even
you're
then,
very
it doesn't
drunk.
Make sense, really? Yes. So that is he is my super. His composite is my superhero of choice.
He's pretty great in Spy too. Actually, it's surprising. You seen him in Spy? He's good. He's
no.
good in that. Yeah.
I'm just shaking my head at Marco.
This is how every top four goes.
It's top four, right?
I mean, the look is just giving me a headache. I'm just shooting it across the room so much. Really,
really.
Oh,
Jason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my go-to superhero is always going to be Spider-Man. So I'm going to pick him despite the fact that we've gone in the lifetime of my daughter, who is 14 years old. She's going into her sophomore year of high school. In her life, we have gone from Spider-Man being the most anticipated superhero movie of all time because it was the highest profile superhero who'd never been made into a major motion picture, to a third reboot of Spider-Man movies where nobody wants to see more Spider-Man.
I believe the upcoming movie is titled Everybody Hates Spider-Man.
Yeah. In 14 years, this has happened. But I grew up loving Spider-Man. I got Spider-Man comics when I was a kid. I loved the Spider-Man cartoon, which was very weird and incredibly low budget. Like there were only two shots of him swinging. There's a shot of him swinging toward the camera and a shot of him swinging across the shot.
Nice.
And they would just alternate those for a long time. J. Jonah Jameson would appear and complain about teenagers.
Spider-Man's on a budget.
Yeah, well, it was pretty sad, but I loved that. I watched all those. That was where we got the famous Spider-Man does whatever a spider can came from that. And I think the Sam Raimi movies are pretty good. I liked Amazing Spider-Man okay, and I thought Spider-Man's appearance in Civil War was actually encouraging. But the comic book Spider-Man is the one that I really love, and it's because unlike characters like Superman, who is sort of great at everything, and Batman, who is dark and he's a dark, gritty, angry, and also like very rich person.
Hot.
Spider-Man is a sad sack. He's a smart kid who gets beat up because he's a nerd. So all of the nerds who read comic books felt like they were on his side. He isn't appreciated. Nobody likes him. The police think that he's bad. The press think that he's bad. He's just trying to keep it together. He's an orphan. His uncle who raised him also died because of a bad decision that he made when he was just starting out as Spider-Man. And now he's guilt-ridden. And lives in the suburbs with his Aunt May and tries to do good while entering the world of the media as a photojournalist. Poor bastard. It's just like nothing. He doesn't do anything right.
Oh, we're talking about Spider-Man. I see how I thought we were talking about my neighbor, John Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I get confused.
Peter Spider-Man is a very nice boy, that Peter Spider-Man. I hope he finds a nice girl to marry. So that's, yeah, Spider-Man. He's great, but boy, those movies have become tiresome.
Tiff, do you have a superhero for the mix?
All right. So I am not a huge comic reader, and I also don't see a lot of superhero movies, but recently we just started watching a show that introduced me to a pretty awesome super lady. And so I'm going to pick that my favorite is Jessica Jones.
Nice.
Because I love that her superpower is strength, which is usually such a masculine superpower to have. And she isn't like a big woman either. She is, you know, a small woman. So it's unexpected. I like that. I love that she's a little bit dark. I actually have her comic sitting on my desk, which I haven't started to read yet. But the TV show got me super into it. And yeah, so I like the strong ladies. And the strong dark ladies. So I'm going to pick Jessica Jones.
She's great.
The strong ladies who coincidentally have your same color scheme.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt that we look a little bit alike. I mean, hey.
Yeah. Are you saying you? Yeah, I like my superheroes like I like my coffee, strong and dark. Is that a thing?
Yes, yes. Nice. Okay. My runner up is Lego Batman.
Nice. Oh, I love Lego Batman.
That's a
Lego
good
Batman's
choice.
Pretty good.
I love That's Lego Batman choice. So much.
So the superhero team that we have built is Squirrel Girl, Jason Statham, Spider Man. And Jessica Jones, which I feel like would have an interesting dynamic going on there.
I think Absolutely. They win at everything.
And yes, they each wear an assortment of sneakers and meat for salad for lunch every day.
Which contains no vegetables.
No. It's a vegetable. They're superheroes. They need protein.
Wow. We are really breaking some new ground here. Marco, it's your turn for our final official list of four. What's the category for you?
All right, my final category here is kitchen hand tools. I wanted to do something kitchen related, and there's lots of categories you could do for kitchen objects. But kitchen hand tools, I felt like narrowed it down pretty well. And I feel like, you know, from a pragmatic standpoint, obviously you'd probably pick like a good knife, right? But I wanted to go a little bit more specific than that. And of course, everyone has like their knife they like chopping most things with. You know, it might be like a big chef knife or a santoku knife or one of those kind of, you know, big rectangular broad knives. But I wanted to go a little bit deeper with my pick. I wanted to go with the paring knife, because most people, like, whenever I have to like make a meal somewhere else or help someone else cook in their house, I rarely can find a good paring knife. And it's when you need to like cut something small and sharp, like most people have a big sharp knife. Very few people have a small sharp knife. You know, usually the only small knives they have are like butter knives and steak knives, and the steak knives are probably from 1975. So, you know, you're not really getting a lot there. But if you have to like, you know, cut cherry tomatoes in half or core out a you know, a small pepper, maybe get all the seeds out without cutting the whole thing up, a paring knife is so good at things. You know, cut a piece of fruit. It is so great. And usually, if there's a paring knife around, usually it is sharper than the main big chef knife because it usually is used a lot less.
Well, that's really good. I mean, that's logical. It's a hand tool. I was thinking more about gadgets that I use with a hand tool when I picked this
up.
That
counts.
I gave some serious thought to the box grater because although it has grated my own skin more than once, it is an important tool to get cheese. I love cheese. It's great to have cheese. But I am going to go instead with something that's also related to pizza, which is the pizza cutter. I love the pizza cutter because I love pizza and I like making pizza. It's also good for things like quesadillas. You can cut those right up. I even will use it sometimes on a grilled sandwich to just mow it down and get it into little pieces. I use the Xylus pizza cutter, which is not your usual kind of like handle with a ring. It's like a big dome on one half of the circle, the sharp circle. It's pretty great. And you just kind of, it's like a steamroller for food. It just mows down anything that's in the way and chops it into little bits as it rolls along. You just can't stop the pizza cutter. So I love the pizza cutter. That's my choice.
All right. I guess I'm up. Yeah. Is this how this works? All right. All right. So I'm going to go with the meat pounder.
Nice.
Because meat pounder, nothing else can do what you do. So I'm going to go with the meat pounder. I only use it when I make chicken cutlets, But
Tiff makes really good chicken cutlets.
I do make a really amazing chicken cutlet. If anyone was at the Overcast party, they had some.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the meat pounder. I don't know any other tool that can accomplish the pounding of meat. Ours is
I mean,
very,
it's in the name.
I know, right?
She's like a
ours
hammer.
Is very heavy.
Yeah.
And it has its own Twitter account. So mm-hmm. if you want to look up Marco's Meat Pounder, you can follow them on Twitter.
I think it weighs more than the MacBook One.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. It's from Williams-Sonoma.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Don't use the MacBook as a meat pounder. It's definitely not going to achieve the same desired.
No. You need to use the spiky side. So like meat pounders come with two sides, like a spiky spot side and a smooth side. You definitely want to go with the spiky side. You got to tenderize that stuff. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And it also feels great when you do it, too. You get a lot of, That's the official noise of a meat pounder.
Wow.
So, meat pounder. Thank you.
Is that the meat pounding? Is that like the hammer that's got the little spikes in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, ours is it's more of like it's a heavy circular base part, and then there's a handle that just sticks straight up out of that the disc part. It looks kind of obscene, but it's very really functional, obscene. And yeah.
And again, you can follow it on Twitter.
Yes,
Marco's Meat Pounder.
I'm still not going to do that. Dan.
Marco's talking about knives got me thinking of a paring knife that I really like, which I'm not going to pick, but it was one of my runners up, which was a serrated paring knife. It's technically, I think, a tomato knife, even though I don't use it for cutting tomatoes. But the Victorinox has a really nice one. My dad had one growing up because he's a big
cook. We
should
get one of those.
But I will pick, in lieu of Jason not picking a box grater, I will pick a microplane. Which is like
my
plane.
Number two. Oh, that was my number two.
It's like a plane, only smaller, is my understanding. It's really a microplane, so it's like a super fine grater. You can use it on everything. I like it on like a hard cheese. If you're making pasta, it's great for that. Yep. You can get garlic down into sort of like a paste if you need to do that. I mean, it basically grates anything.
Nutmeg.
Yeah.
It also functions as a zester for citrus.
Yes, exactly. That's also a good one. So if you need your little citrus, a zest.
It's a good multitasker.
Mm-hmm. It's a great tool. You know, it's one of those
if
tools
you have
that
Blue
seems
Ape
like
and you need one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really do. It's one of those tools that seems like you're only going to use it on one thing, and then you realize how many things it's actually useful for.
Yeah, exactly. It's
also super sharp, so it's a good way to lose fingertips. Be very, very careful. But it's a great tool. I have one of those really long ones, and I feel like I need one of the smaller sort of rectangular ones rather than this. Like I have the one that's like, I don't know, it's like 6 inches long or something. I don't understand why it needs to be so long. But I guess that's a lot of microplaning surface there. So
actually, it's nice. Ours is also like the short long or like the narrow long kind.
Yeah.
It's nice because you can bridge it across a bowl or a pan and grate right on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's a good thing. I hadn't even thinking about using that, but that's a great idea.
Yep.
So there we go. Microplane. That's my pick for hand tool.
Wow.
There we
Solid
go.
Solid pick.
Thanks.
Nice.
We've made four lists. This is normally where in Clockwise we do a little bonus topic at the end that's sillier than what's come before.
Is that possible?
Yeah. I'm not sure that's even possible. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Just a reminder: this episode was brought to you by Blue Apron, Doc Martens, cheese and bacon. ask for them by name.
This episode is brought to you by Jason Statham hand grating a cucumber
onto Squirrel Girl.
Lego Batman.
It's Lego Batman. It's don't ask.
All right, before we go, one last list we're going to comprise. This is the bonus silly list. And it's this: keys on a keyboard. Pick your favorite key on a keyboard. I will begin. Ampersand. It's also a seven. Seven's a lucky number. Hit shift. It's an ampersand, which is my favorite symbol. So that's the one I'm going to pick.
It's a multitasker.
Yeah. Tiff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
You're picturing the ampersand, weren't you?
I am. I'm looking at my keyboard. Okay, so I think I'm going to go with the command key just because I've been
classic.
Doodling it. I like the Apple swirly command symbol.
Yeah, that's like it's like some kind of like old like Swiss symbol.
It's like
or
a
something
place.
Other,
it's
right?
a place of interest.
Yes,
I think
in
on
Europe,
a,
yeah.
a map
in European.
Yeah, like,
yeah, I was in Sweden, I think, and there was a
I was
big,
say
there
Sweden,
was a,
the Scandinavian.
Yeah, there was a big sign that had the little thing, little twirly thing on it. And
Did
I was
you
like,
try
oh,
pressing
look at
it?
That.
Quick, press it. Hold down a letter.
Yeah. Where's the S? Come on.
Nice.
I am going to, you know, I keep pressing the escape key, but it doesn't work. I am going to pick the option key as mine. And part for the same reason Tiff picked the command key, even though they don't really use it as much on the keyboard anymore, I really like the option symbol. And it, part of it is because I didn't really understand for many years, like until like I started writing about Apple stuff, what it actually meant, which is like, it's essentially like two train tracks. It's like a track switch.
Yeah, it's like, take an alternate path. Yeah, I've been using Apple products since 2006, 2004, and it took me until about last year to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I started in 91 and got it in about 2006, so you're doing better than I am.
So Dan, what you're saying is you're going to keep your options open.
I always do.
All right, my pick for keyboard key is something that actually is not on the standard Apple keyboards, but is on every other kind of keyboard.
Here we go.
It's the pause break key.
What?
Because PC keyboards have a key up by like the number pad and everything called pause/break, which is amazing because, you know, if you think about like the level of like comical confusion this has caused over the decades that it's existed. What's extra funny about the pause break key, first of all, it's labeled break, and like you think about like people being intimidated by their technology, and there's like, literally a button on the keyboard that says break. And you're like, am I going to break my computer if I push that? Like, please never touch that. And the best thing about it is that on almost every computer, it just does nothing now. Like, it served a purpose a very long time ago, but for, I think, well over like 25 years, it has just done nothing when you push it. And I read a long time ago, I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it earlier today. I read a humor article that pointed out that if the pause break button does nothing, it's kind of working because you can push it and you kind of get a pause or a break in your day and nothing happens. So it's like, I would like nothing to happen. I would like a break where nothing happens, please. Push the pause break button. You get a break.
According to Wikipedia, the break key, it refers to a telegraph, breaking a telegraph circuit. Why a computer has a 19th century key is completely beyond me. And this is an actual line from the break key article in Wikipedia. In modern usage, the key has no well-defined purpose.
Mm-hmm. And yet it's still on every PC keyboard. And it's on, because I use a Microsoft ergonomic keyboard, and it's on, mine is only labeled pause. It is not labeled pause break, but on the standard PC keyboard, it's pause break on one key.
It's a vestigial key.
So I have a pause key that if you press it, does not pause the audio and appears to do nothing except give me pause.
Wow.
I hear if you press the break key, it starts breakdancing. That's just a rumor. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I think we've come to the end. We've learned a lot here about salads.
Are we at 44 minutes yet?
Sneakers. We are almost exactly at 44 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We did exactly what we said we would do. So it leaves me only to say, my co-host on Clockwise, Dan Morin, thank you for being a part of whatever this was.
It was a distinct pleasure.
Tiff and Marco of Top 4, thank you for being a part of whatever this thing was, too.
We are so blessed.
And thank you for doing all the work.
And you're welcome for that. And thank you out there again for supporting Relay. We really appreciate it. We're sorry that this is what you got underneath the tree. But maybe next year, huh? Until then, just remember to watch what you say and keep counting to 4. Goodbye, everybody.
Yay!
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we should do this every year.
That was awesome.
We learned a lot.
I think that was entertaining, and people are going to be privileged to listen to it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.